The Maimon we're going to learn this morning was delivered by the Rebbe on Shabbos Parsha Shoftim. In that year, it was the fourth day of Elul, and the year would correspond to 1956. Shoftim v'sheitrim titin l'cho b'chol sha'arecha. So the Torah portion this week opens up with the divine instruction and command that Shoftim, which means judges, and Shoftim, which means law enforcement agents or guards, should be placed on all gates. So this has, of course, its literal meaning and iteration. And then it has homiletic interpretation, like the idea of making sure that we have guards on our gates, like our eyes, like our ears, like our mouth, like the things that come into our person or what comes out from us. And then it also has a deep and profound mystical meaning. And we're going to focus on the mystical meaning today. Hine Ksiv, behold, it is written, Neida Bashiorim Bailo. A very famous verse comes from a famous collection of verses called Esh Hizkiyahu. So Esh Hizkiyahu, which according to our tradition, is actually the eulogy that Avraham Avinu gave for Sarah Imenu at Hebron, when the first Jew was buried in the land of Israel. And it was something that was preserved generation after generation, committed to its formal canon only by Shlomo HaMelech a full 15 generations later. And it doesn't only refer to the notion of Avraham Avinu's mourning or yearning for his wife, but rather it ultimately refers to all the Jewish people in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Almighty God. And in the metaphor there, God is the husband and we are the wife. So it is in this collection of verses, it says, Noida Basha'orim, her husband is known at the gates. That's literally what it means. And on a literal level, it means that the wife takes care of everything so the husband can go and sit and study Torah and do whatever the things he wants to do because he knows everything's taken care of at home. But on a mystical level, it has very different meaning, as we'll see. V'huksha b'zayir, so there's a question that's brought in the Zohar on this. Since when we view the Esh Hizkiyahu through the prism of mysticism, it necessarily refers to Knesset Yisrael, to the congregation of Israel. So in that case, if Knesset Yisrael is the spouse, is the wife, who is the husband? That would be the Almighty, the Holy One, blessed be. But this is not the only place where God assumes the role in the metaphor of the husband. There are many examples of this. And one example is found in the Haftorot of Nechama that we read during these weeks. As it says, Ki boi alayach esayich, Hashem tzvoi shemai. Your, literally, it translates as your husband makes you. And that says God, the Lord of hosts, is his name. So we have this idea that Yeshayahu HaNavi, when he speaks about the future redemption and how Hashem will fix everything, he says, your husband's going to fix everything. He's going to take care of everything. Of course, that's God. V'amru Razal, and our sages tell us, and this is found in the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin on page 22, it says, Ein Isha Kares Es Bris, Elalami Isha Sar Kli. A woman does not commit. The idea of Kris Es Bris, the idea of cutting a covenant, is that we're not only going to get along when we get along, but cutting a covenant means, or making a covenant, making a treaty, means that even when things are not going to go right, we're still going to get along. In other words, we make a commitment, a long-term commitment. And the notion of a long-term commitment that says, a woman does not make a long-term commitment, a lifelong commitment, El Lemisha saw a cleat to somebody who makes her, so to speak, an instrument. As it says, Ki be'alayach esayach. So be'alayach esayach refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the proverbial metaphor, if you will, or allegory, God, so to speak, makes us, and as a result, we're committed to Him. Elsewhere it says, Shel Asid Lavai, that in the future that is yet to come, which we call Mashiach, Yia Bechinas Nisuin, then there'll be what's called matrimony. So now it's only like an engagement. But when Mashiach will come, then it will be matrimony. And the proof again is, Ki b'alayach esayach. When is your husband really going to take responsibility? Well, like the wife who got forgotten. But when Mashiach comes, then God takes full responsibility. The Mikol Zeh, from this whole collection of verses and ideas, we can understand Shabbat Alayich, which is Bechinas Baal, the husband, who are Kadosh Baruch Hu. All right, so what's the point? Fine, so God is the husband in the metaphor. Well, the thing is this. Him Cain, if God is the husband, so Eichu Noida B'Sharim, then how is he known at the gates? Like, let's take the metaphor through all the way. The husband is known at the gates. How is the husband known? If the husband is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows God? Who can say they know God? The answer, of course, is nobody. Halay ein sev baruch hu ne'elam betachlas ha'helav. The notion of the infinite light of God is concealed in the highest level of concealment. The ein mi she'asiguhu. It's impossible for anybody to grasp God. As it says elsewhere, if I would know him, I would be him. You can't know God. How do you know God? It doesn't just mean we can't figure God out. God's too smart for us. He's three moves ahead. The whole notion of knowledge and the notion of divinity is an oxymoron. Knowledge means things that we didn't know before and I could know at a certain point, which necessarily means a past, present, and future. Having knowledge means that there had to be a preclusion of not having knowledge. And at a certain point, I became knowledgeable of something. That's the notion of being knowledgeable. In order to become knowledgeable, I have to be potentially knowledgeable. I have to be able to know and understand something. But I also have to have a time when I didn't know something, or when something maybe didn't even exist. Well, all of that is moot when it comes to God. And it's absolutely impossible for anybody to really know God. I'll say this tongue-in-cheek, but it's a metaphor, but it brings home the point. Somebody once came to the Friedrich Rebbe, and he said, I knew your father. So the Friedrich Rebbe laughed. He used to have a throaty laugh, give a loud throaty laugh. And he said, you knew my father? He says, Cain, and you kannt mein Taten. Nobody knew my father. You saw my father. You didn't know my father. Right? Okay, but we're talking now in a serious sense. To know God is actually impossible. And yet, the verse says, Noida. It talks about knowledge. It talks about knowing. And it's talking about God. As we demonstrated from a whole slew of verses and Talmudic ideas, that in Torah parlance, God is referred to as the husband. Well, then how does this metaphor work? Forget where gates are, where are the gates. But how do you have noida? How do you have knowledge of God? How can anybody say they know God? So the Zohar asks this question. The Zohar has two different ways of reconciling this seemingly impossible reality. Number one, tirutz echad. The Pidush Noida Basha'arim, that the meaning of he is known in the gates, or knowing him in the gates is, the Ihu Isyadav Isdabek Lufum Madam Mishar Belibai. God allows you to connect. He allows you to connect as per what you can conjecture or imagine in your heart. So if a person has some kind of image, and they have some kind of idea, and to them this is God, but this is to the best of their ability, they're trying to understand. So then that's how they're connecting to God. Then that's real. In other words, kol chad, each one, kama diyochel lizdabek beruach techochmasa. Each one as he or she is able to understand according to their own intelligence. You could have a very simple person and they connect to God at their level. You could have a very sophisticated person and they connect to God on their level. The truth is that the difference between a sophisticated person and a very, very simple person are not that big. The child in nursery school and the highest level of Kabbalist or Talmud Chacham, it's a range. The great Kabbalist was also once a child in nursery school. Mm-hmm. So it's on the continuum. When you're in the continuum, it looks like a vast difference. Here's on one end, you have a child who knows virtually nothing, and here you have a person who's so profound, so knowledgeable, so deep, so sophisticated, but it's all on a continuum. And the truth is that before the real essence of divinity, which nobody knows what that is, all of that is eclipsed. It's like they show pictures today. You can see this on the internet of planet Earth in comparison to Saturn, or the largest planet. And then they compare that to the sun, and Earth looks very small next to the sun. And then they take the sun and they compare it to the next big star. And all of a sudden, the sun looks very small, and Earth is like a speck. And they actually have these enormous stars that they identified, and they keep showing you the larger star, until Earth is not even a speck in comparison with the largest star that's light years away. So when you're in the solar system, you know, the sun looks really big and Earth is kind of prominent. But when you compare it to what's beyond it, all of it becomes eclipsed. All of it seems very, very small, puny and insignificant. And that's just a metaphor, because at the end of the day, they're on the same continuum. A different system, a different galaxy, same continuum. It's just size, it's just mass, it's just matter. But when we talk about divinity, it's beyond what anybody could imagine.
Infinite.
It's infinite. And what is infinity? Nobody knows. We can't know infinity. So here we are, sitting and talking about God, and we have no clue what we're talking about. We can't have a clue what we're talking about. As sophisticated as we might be, we still don't know what we're talking about. So why are we bother for? What's the point? Why bother knocking yourself out and trying to understand this if ultimately the greatest understanding we'll ever achieve is insignificant? And the answer is, if it's the greatest understanding that you can come to, you are able to grasp God with it. God makes himself graspable in your measure. If that's the best you could do, Madhav Bashar Baliba, that's the best you could relate to. That's the way you can marshal the ability, the Rucha de Chachmasa, the spirit of wisdom that God gave you. That's all God expects. It's very comforting. So on one hand, objectively speaking, this is mission impossible. Why bother trying? On the other hand, Torah says, no, this is entirely possible. This is a mission that God gave you. He wants you to know him as best as you can. As long as you know God as best as you could know, perfect. That's wonderful. And you're actually knowing God. So when the child is davening, you say, well, who are you davening to? And the child goes to God. God's going to answer you. Oh, yeah, I speak to God now. Children don't have a problem with that. They're having nursery school, but we're talking to Hashem now. What child? What do you understand? What Hashem? What God? You're a child. You don't know from right to left. You know nothing. He's a child. Yeah, he's a child, so he knows what he knows. The child learns the Chumash. He's learning Parsha Shavua. What did you learn in the Parsha? Oh, I learned there was a guy Noach and he was on a big floating barge. Okay. He really understands the Parsha. Does he understand that Noach is a metaphor for our times besides the literal meaning? Does he understand the failings of Noach and the strength of Noach? No, he's a child. He knows about a guy in a boat. All right. But he knows Parsha as he knows Parsha. And somebody else studies the Parsha at a deeper level. They know Parsha on a deeper level. And they all know Parsha. As the Rebbe Rashab once said, everybody studies the Chumash. Everybody knows the Chumash. And nobody has a clue what's going on in the Chumash. He said everybody studies the Tanya. Everybody knows the Tanya. Nobody has a clue what's going on in Tanya. So we understand it as we understand it. This is a very comforting Zohar. The Zohar is telling us that our understanding, to the best of our ability, is meaningful.
This is Ani L'Dodi.
Yeah? Exactly. Ultimately, you could say it's Ani L'Dodi because that's also... that uses the terminology of a loving relationship. The second interpretation is the sha'arim, gates, are to be understood within the framework of measures. Heim eser sfirot. These are the 10 sfirot. Sha'al yodam, it's through the 10 sfirot, efcher lahasig b'yizbarach, that it's possible to grasp something about God. Now, this means that God tells us, the Torah tells us that God has, if you will, 10 sefirot, or these 10 different levels, Chachma, Bina, and Das, and so on and so forth. And when we know about these things, then we're able to grasp God. So God made himself knowable. Obviously, you can't know the essence of God, but you could understand the essence of sefirot. We could all understand Chachma on some level. We could all understand what Bina means on some level. We can know what Das is. We can know what Chesed is. We know what Gvur is. Okay, so we understand those things. Those measures that God created, that system, if you will, that God created, that's how you know God. Ubeis Pirushim Elu, Him Behesim Lubeis Pirushim B'Tevas Sharim. The Rebbe says these two different interpretations. One is what I could conjecture, imagine, or understand, or grasp in my own mind or heart. The other is the measures that God created, meaning the notion of Esa Sfirot. So these two ideas are actually both found in the word Sha'arim. How? Dilapidah Sha'aleph, according to the first interpretation, Sha'arim hu lashon hash'ara. The word Sha'arim, gates, really could mean not just portals, but it comes from the terminology of hash'ara, which means estimation. The way I estimate to be something to be. So for example, to the person, what do you estimate? An educated guess, not just like an estimation that comes out of nowhere. Well, I would estimate there will be such and such. May not be such and such, but he's a professional, and he estimates. An estimate would come across like this. It's not really knowledge. Strictly speaking, it's not knowledge. It's what we call a supposition. Or, in scientific terminology, what we would call today a hypothesis.
An educated guess.
A hypothesis is an educated guess, really. A hypothesis is not, strictly speaking, knowledge. It's a hypothesis. I'm scientifically inclined. We know many things about many things. And based on all the facts we know, we can then assume, guesstimate, or estimate that something would be such and such. Is it in fact so? Not necessarily. In fact, many hypotheses over time were disproved. How were they disproven? By the facts. So when you get the facts, you don't have hypotheses anymore, because I don't have to theorize about how it might be. I know how it is. Mm-hmm. So for example, in the realm of astrophysics, today we know certain things from the Hubble telescope that we simply didn't know 50 or 60 years ago, or even 30 years ago. They've actually been able to see things, actually been able to quantify and measure things. So when you quantify and measure, no matter how brilliant Einstein was, he was just basing it on what he believed to probably, likely be the case. And then some things we found out are simply not so. So strictly speaking, scientific hypothesis is a contradiction, or an oxymoron at least. If it's scientific, it's not hypothetical. If it's hypothetical, it can't be scientific. So why do they call it that way? Because it's a scientific hypothesis. It's not sci-fi. It's not some kind of fantastic, whacked-out stuff which somebody's imagining in Hollywood. No, it's based on facts, which are elongated, kind of projected and developed. And the same thing is true with God. So it's not v'fide ma'am shara libe. Oh, you want to be connected to God? Hug a tree. Watch the sunset. Go for a swim in the Pacific. That's God. No, that's not God. That's stupid. That's ridiculous. That's your own expressions, self-expression. You're worshiping yourself. That's not what it means when you say ma'ad b'shar b'libe. B'shar b'libe is not what God is, what you imagine him to be. Chas v'shalom. It means God is as you, through the knowledge you have, estimate God to be. You can never know the essence of God. But I'm coming to this intelligently. In the same way a person would say there's a difference between a scientific hypothesis that's being pioneered by the cutting edge, most brilliant scientific minds of the world, and a child's postulations of ridiculous things, there's no comparison. This is science, and this is Narishkeit. Or at best, this is Hollywoodism. In the same way, a person would say alien spirituality makes up his own spirituality. I imagine God to be this, or I think it should be this, versus a perspective from Torah. It's a world of difference. So the first is Hashara. She'orim from the term Hashara. Hainu she'ein zu yediyah amitis. It's not in fact so. It's an educated guess. It's an estimate. U'becholos hainu yediyah sametzias v'le yediyah samahus. You could know of something without really knowing what it is exactly, because you never had an experience. Well, the Peter Shabbay is according to the second interpretation. Sha'arim humulashan shiurum mida. The word sha'arim comes from the terminology of a measure. It has its defined parameters. It measures like this. This is its definition. Shahema esesfiris. The esesfiris have clear definition. They're 10, not 9, for example. Shahem shiur b'shiurum mida. Eser v'leitesha. As it says in Sefer Yetzirah, they're 10, not 9. Eser, they're 10, v'le achadasa. It's a euphemism, but it's literal. They are 10 and they're not 11. They're 11 and not 12. It's not just ideas, it's not jazz, it's not just throw stuff at you. It makes sense. There is a logic to Esther's fetus. The kiv on shagilu al yodam umumididivag bolo. Since the way things are revealed to the esesfiris comes in a form of limitation, in a defined form, lochein efshalahasig elikus al yodam. Therefore, we could grasp divinity via or through the virtue of these things, al yedei hamishalim me eser keches hanefesh ukeretz bezet, through using the allegory and the metaphor of 10 soul powers. 10 soul powers are said to be a reflection of the esesfirot that God, so to speak, operates through. Ukemeshir kosov, like it says in the famous pasuk in Iov that describes knowing God by knowing yourself. Mivisari, from my own flesh, corporeality, or perhaps from my own psyche and consciousness, echze eleka, I can perceive divinity. The idea zu, he has saga mamash. If you speak to somebody who learns chassidus and knows it well, he knows what the esesfiras are. He can apply the esesfiras on many levels. It's real. It's real knowledge. It's a real science. It's not a hashara. It's not an estimation. I think maybe chachma talks to bina. No, okay. Chachma, that's what seeds and develops bina. This makes sense. The zeo masha echze hu targum shoraiya. That's why the word echze is also the Aramaic equivalent to the word seeing. When you have a hypothesis or an estimate, you're not seeing it to be so. You imagine it to be so. Mm-hmm. When you see it, you're seeing it. And there's a very big difference between a person who will describe something using many words and a person who simply sees it. When you see it, you get it in a moment. When you describe it, you have to describe many, many details, fleshing all the details until something, a picture begins to emerge, you can illustrate the issue. V'shnei ha-pirushim amitim hem. That was something very interesting. Both of these interpretations are true. It's true. You do know God through what we can estimate God to be, to the best of our ability. And we also do know God through the measures that God revealed himself to us. The be'elikus shebesfidus, the divinity which is in the sfidus, efshali is hasaga. We actually can understand that. We can really know that. Masha'enkin be'elikus shelemailu mesfidus, but in divinity that's higher than sfidus, hayediyehi b'derech hasha'ora bovad. So the answer, if they're both true, how could they both be true? They're saying different things. One is saying that we can estimate divinity. One is saying we can know divinity. Which one is it? Can you know God or just estimate God? What's the answer? It depends what level of divinity. There's a level of divinity we actually can know. There's a level of divinity we have to imagine based on what we've learned. Hine, lahavim b'tisef es biyor. Now, the Rebbe, so this is basically an idea. That's Sheftim. Sheftim, Tilchol Sha'arecha. You should have these guards and all your Sha'arim. Basically, Sha'arim are the mechanism through which we have a relationship with God. How do we have a relationship with God? How could we know God? How can we get to know God? The answer is Hashara and through Shiur. That's the concept of Shiur. But to understand this better, the meaning of Neidah B'Sha'arim, Yesh Lahakdim Mashakasim Makimachar, the Rebbe introduces us to something very different. That which is written on the Pasuk, Einecha Lelecha Yisaberu. So this is a Pasuk in Ashrei, where everybody is pining, so to speak, for God. And everybody gets what they need from God. The Hainu, that this refers to Nun Share Bina. It refers to the 50 gates of understanding. Nun is Begematria Kol. The word Nun, which is 50, is the Gematria of the word Kol. Kol is 20 and Lamed is 30. So Kol is Nun. Eine Chol Elecha Yisaberu. The word Chol is Nun. What are we getting from God, so to speak? We get from God the concept of the 50 gates of understanding. The Inyan Nun Share Bina, the idea of these 50 gates, he Shehem Hasha'arim Shal Yodim Huam Shachas HaMeichen L'midas. What does he mean, these gates? These means that's the portals through which the idea of ideas or things which will remain in the intellectual realm can actually filter through into the way we feel about things. So it's not just an idea out there, it's something that speaks to me.
That's like the hypothesis with the Sha'arim.
Well, yeah, it's like the Sha'arim. It's like the Sha'arim, which means I need to bring that into my world. I need to bring it, and so I have these gates to which it comes to my world. It could be either way, by the way. It could be with the hypothesis, or it could be with the knowledge. The point is, these are the portals, the entryways. This is how I relate. This is how I can enter into a higher consciousness. So there's the idea of bringing ideas into midas. Midas are the way I relate to things, and ideas are objective truisms. And then there's the idea of halas amidas, of elevating the way I feel into a higher space, putting myself into a higher consciousness. It's very different. And that's the meaning of einei chol, the eyes of all, elecha yisaberu. In other words, that's the idea of halah. It's the idea of we're looking up to God. We place our hope in God. So haino halah samidis alameichem. We're trying to elevate ourselves. That instead of a child has midis, the child's midis are whatever I want. I'm frustrated, I'm angry, I want this, that, or the other thing, and I want it now. And the child flips out if he doesn't get it. So we say, time to grow up. You can't just lose it every time you don't get exactly what you want. Instead, you have to be a mature person. Instead, you have to deal with the realities outside you. You have to learn how to relate to other people. You have to learn how to compromise. You have to learn how to transform your midas. So halos hamidas is the idea. How do you do that? How do you take from the world of midas, a world which is seething and impetuous and intense and heated, and how do you put that into a world of meichen, which is cool, calm, collected, sometimes even indifferent? How do you do that? And the answer is, there are portals, there are entryways. And the entryways are the Nun Sharibina, those are the 50 gates of wisdom. Kol is the gematria of Nun. But there's another idea. There's another thing. Besides the idea of going, elevating the Midas, which the Midas, the entryway into, is through 50 gates. There's another idea, and that is, by the way, it doesn't have to mean 50 different gates. It can mean you go through one gate, the next gate, the third gate, till you come to the 50th gate, and actually nobody can enter the 50th gate without a gift from God. That's like at a certain point we exhaust all possibilities. That's when we arrive at the 50th gate. And then there's this other idea. There's this idea of that Shehei Mikabla Mehalamet Bevnes Sinas Chachma, that wisdom is able to seed or provide to understanding. And when it comes to wisdom giving to understanding, we talk not about 50 gates, but when Chachma gives to Bina, we talk about 32 pathways of wisdom. Not gates, but pathways. Not 50, but 32. The Lamed Beis Nesivas Chachma, the 32 pathways of wisdom, that's the Chibur of Chachma and Bina. Chachma is when I'm able to understand the idea in a moment, like I see it, like literally seeing something. Bina is when I'm gonna analyze something. A person sometimes gets an idea and it's perfectly clear to them, then they have to analyze what was clear to them. And they have to develop the philosophy or the theory of this idea. So what exactly did I see? What was I all excited about? And that happens through these 32 pathways.
So what's the difference between the 50 gates and the 32 pathways?
The difference is that the 50 gates are the way midas, or the way I relate to things, are exalted or elevated. That's the way I can enter into a higher level of consciousness. Whereas the Lamed Beis and Sivas Chochma is how ideas can be actualized in a way that I should understand them. One is going, if you will, proverbially.
One's here.
Yeah, well, if you need to do that like one is taking it from the heart, elevating the heart into consciousness, and one is taking ideas from the pre-consciousness and bringing them into the prefrontal cortex, so I'm actually understanding them.
So one is Omer. Huh? Omer.
Yeah, similar, very similar. So one is taking from the heart, elevating the midas. I'm trying to become a more logical, more thoughtful, more inspired person. And the other is elevate myself, I'm trying to actualize or bring down ideas which exist in the pre-consciousness. Ideas which are almost beyond me, but I'm trying to bring them down into my realm. I'm trying to grasp or understand them. So one is to do directional. One is an elevation of self, and one is being able to actualize into oneself. In the end, both change you. Both make you a better person. But they're different directions. So you enter into the higher realm through 50 gates or 50 doorways, if you will. You have to go through one and another until you have come to this closer understanding that you can actually relate to divinity. But at some point, divinity becomes one with you, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu on the 50th, the last day of his life, goes to Mount Nebo, which is Nun Bo, 50, isn't it? He goes to that 50th gate. And the other is that a person through study of Torah is able to reach a level of a deeper understanding, a deeper apprehension. So I'm taking these ideas and I'm bringing them into my world. And now I grasp that. And this is the way I can download this idea and make this idea something that exists in my mind that I'm actually able to grasp. So for that, we have these 32 pathways. And unfortunately, we're all out of time. But this is a fascinating concept of the 50 gates and the 32 pathways. And the point ultimately that we have to take away from this is that we all can have a relationship with God. In fact, we all must have a relationship with God. How does our relationship express itself? Our relationship with God happens through our heart, by elevating our midot, and there are gateways or portals we enter. Our relationship with God has by understanding ideas which are intrinsically, would seem beyond us, but taking these ideas, grasping them, and bringing them down into our realm. And for this we have 50 gates, 32 pathways of wisdom, and ultimately, Noida v'shar and Baila, we can know God, so to speak, at the gates, and we have to put guards at those gates, to make sure that we use the life that Hashem gives us to know God instead of chas v'sholem, to allow other things into our life and to dabble in other realities which are extraneous and distance us from God and from fulfilling our mission. And there's much, much more to say and no more time. So good Shabbos, everybody. And we should merit to know and to understand and to see in the most profound way. And that happens, of course, when Mashiach will come and the world will be filled with knowledge of God. B'mheira will be Amenu. Amen.
Amen. Amen.